Hello everyone, and welcome back. I want to now begin for the next few weeks to learn through some Hilchos Brachos. Right after I came 2 years ago, I gave a series, six-part series, going through Hilchos Brachos, and each shiur was an hour. So if we are going to go through everything, that'll probably take us the majority of the winter. So I don't know if we're going to go through everything or not, but let's give it a shot, and let's see what we can cover, what we can get through. So I want to begin with the bracha of Mezainis. Let's understand a little bit more about this bracha. The bracha of Mezainis was instituted for grain, and not just any grain, but five specific types of grain, which are namely wheat, oats, barley, spelt, and rye. Again, wheat, oats, barley, spelt, and rye. Now, so that's actually the first important thing to understand about Mezainis, is that the various other forms of grain which are out there, with the exclusion of rice, aren't a Mezainis. So there's quinoa, there's buckwheat, many other types of grain, which are scientifically categorized as grain, yet all those will be a hadama. And it's only these particular five and rice that can ever possibly attain the bracha of Mezainis. Mezainis is limited to the chameshes mine dagim, which are, in essence, all five of them are included in the shivat aminim as well. And that's what the bracha of Mezainis is made for. Now, grain happens to be a fascinating thing when it comes to brachas, because any and all of these five types of grains can have three possible brachas to be made on them depending on their stage of development. A grain starts out as a hadama. If you were to eat wheat or oats without creating any particular dish out of them, puffed wheat, for example, something like that, where you just eat the actual wheat kernel, or you know, when they roast wheat kernels and stuff like that, then the bracha is hadama. After all, it grows from the ground, and it's a vegetable, or I mean a grain more specifically, but essentially it's a vegetable like any other vegetable. So the bracha, correct bracha, is hadama. At some point in its development, you then bring it up to the bracha of Mezainis. What is that stage? So that stage is when you finish it and create what is known as a Maisa Kedera. You make a dish out of it through either cooking or through baking. Both of them will fall under this category of Maisa Kedera. So again, a grain begins as a hadama. That's how it begins its life, begins its career as a hadama, like everything else that grows from the ground. And then once you transfer it and convert it and finish it into a maisa kedera, into something that's either baked or cooked, then it becomes a mezainis. Now, we know, though, that grain also has the possibility of to go one step further, and that is when you make bread out of it, whereupon it becomes hamaitz. And what we're going to try to understand now is how do we know the difference between these levels? When is it hadama? When is it mezainis? And when is it hamaitzi? Which is probably going to take us more than just one shir, but let's begin with the first distinction. When is it hadama and when is it mezainis? So again, in order to become mezainis, it needs to become a maisa gedera. Now, this question becomes the most apparent when the famous question and issue, what bracha does one make on granola and what bracha do we make on granola bars or kind bars or all the other different forms of rolled oats that are made into some, you know, sticky mixture. Likewise, oatmeal. There are many different dishes that we make by cooking or roasting and combining wheat, oats, barley into one mush. So when does it leave its status as a vegetable, where its bracha is hadama, and turns into a maisa kedera, a cooked dish, and then begets the status of mezainis? So, in short, in a nutshell, what it really depends on, being, Chazal say that just taking an individual grain and roasting it and cooking it doesn't constitute a ma'aseh kedera. A ma'aseh kedera is defined by when the pieces join together, they stick together, and they form a mush. That's a ma'aseh kedera. Or you bake them together, and they thereby become joined together. That's a ma'aseh kedera. That's a dish. That's a baked item. That's what makes it into a ma'aseh kedera. That's what makes the transfer from a hadama to a mezainis. So that being as it is, that's why we understand that if you have puffed wheat or puffed oats or any other thing like that, where you took an individual grain, and although the way they puff them is by steaming them, which is technically a form of cooking, and that's what makes them puff up, yet they will remain a hadama because they're just individual grains of wheat which haven't gotten stuck together through any process of cooking. Therefore, the cooking does not change them into a mezainis, doesn't change them into a ma'aseh kedera, and they remain with their original distinction of a hadama, just being a grain. So if you have puffed sweet cereal, the bracha will be hadama. Likewise, when you have granola, not granola bar, but in granola pieces, so what's granola? It's just oats, and you've taken oats and then rolled it together and then baked it and toasted it together with raisins or nuts or whatever else it is, honey, whatever else is that you put into the mixture, and then you then it becomes separated once again. So granola are little clumps of individual oats which are stuck to other things. So they're also, being that it hasn't really formed a mixture, it hasn't formed a dish, it hasn't been baked into a bar or such, it does not get the status of a ma'aseh kedera, and it remains with its original distinction, which is a hadama. When is it that we say it moves over to the next level and becomes a mezainis? So that would be where the question by a granola bar is, that the way I understand from one of my rabbeim, Rav Shlomo Miller, the way he understands is that, being that the way a granola bar is made is that they put it into a 9x13 or whatever it is, pan, and then they bake it at a temperature which is a normal baking temperature at a 250 or 350, and it stays that way for a while until it becomes solidified together. So that would constitute a cooking process, a baking process, and the end product as well is now a fully formed bar, which is all connected and joined together, and that is a baked item or a cooked item. Therefore, at that point, it becomes a mezainis. Now, it's not only the first bracha that changes, it's also the bracha achrona that changes. If you make a hadama, then the bracha achrona will always be bernefashis, whereas if you make a mezainis, with the exception of rice, the bracha achrona is always going to be alamichya. So this change is not only important for the bracha rishona, it's also very important for the bracha achrona. And if you are obligated in one bracha achrona, you can't make the other one. So if you need to make a bar nefashis, an alamichya is not going to be made to you. If you need to make an alamichya, a bar nefashis is not going to be made to you. You have to do the right one. That's why it's important to know how to distinguish when something is a mezainis and when something is a hadama. So again, the rule of thumb over here is that all grains start out as a hadama, being that they're vegetables, like any other vegetable. They start out as a hadama, and they only transpose into a mezainis when they become what is called a ma'aseh kedera, when they become a cooked dish. And we only call it a cooked dish when it has some of the characteristics of a cooked dish, which is that there's been a number of pieces which have become stuck together through the cooking process to form a dish, right? But not when it's just individual oats, individual grains, which haven't changed other than they've been toasted. That doesn't change them, and that remains with the bracha of hadama. That's why puffed wheat and regular granola, not granola bars, regular granola will be a hadama, and the bracha achrona will be bar nefashos. But once you've made a granola bar out of it, or you've made oatmeal, for example, you've cooked oat and oats and you've made oatmeal where it all sticks together, or challent, right, where the barley all sticks together, or barley soup, any of those things where the barley and the oats and the wheat has been cooked and been baked, and in a fashion where now it all sticks together and forms a dish, it's turned into a maisa kedera. And at that point, the correct bracha is mezainis, and likewise, the bracha achrayna is al hamechya. So this parsha is parsha Chayisara, and this parsha has the distinction of being the first recorded hesped in history ever given. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah gives the hesped for Sarah. First time in history a hesped is given. And the whole hesped consists of one pasuk. The first pasuk, which is very short, concise, and terse, but yet has the highest form of praise that any human being can really be given. Pasuk says, Vayu chai Sarah, the life of Sarah was Me'ashana, 100 years, Ve'eshmshana, 20 years, Ve'shevashanim, 7 years. Shnei chai Sarah, these are the years of Sarah. Now, there's a lot of redundancy in this pasuk. It says Shana a lot of times. Me'ashana, Eshmshana, Shevashanim, and then once again, it all sums it up. Shnei chai Sarah. Why is the pasuk repeating itself so many times? The Rashi here tells us that very famous Rashi saying that the pasuk is coming to contrast and to show the continuity of Sarah's life. And what it's coming to teach us is that Sarah Imenu had a superhuman consistency in her life. From 20 to 100, there was no difference. She was 100% a tzadekes. She didn't do any averos. She was kibas esrim, kibas mea, lachet. There was no change in her status of tzidkus, no change in averos and mitzvahs. She was always perfect. And it says there was no change in her physical being as well. From 20 to 7, and likewise her whole life, she remained perfect in physical beauty. And then the pasuk sums up, Shnei Chayisara, Kulan Shavan L'Tayva, they were all equal in their goodness. That's why the pasuk sums it up again, to teach you that they were all equal in their goodness. This is the hesped that the Torah says about Sarah Yimei. Now, this is, in truth, an amazing, amazing, almost impossible to understand level how a person can achieve perfection and keep it their whole life. But let's even try to understand what Rashi is saying here, because in truth, it's really an incredible thing. Rashi says that kulan shavin l'tayva, they were all equal in their goodness. Now, if you ask me, I wouldn't have said that. I would not think that Sarah Yimei's life can be understood as that it was all good and it was all equal in its goodness. Actually, Sarah suffered quite a bit. She didn't have a child until she was 90. That's pretty bad. And how could you compare the first 90 years of her life without a child to the last 37 years of her life when she did have a child and she was taken by Parai and she was taken by Avimelech, and they went through numerous tests and trials, and yet the Torah says, Kulan Shavan L'Tayva, they're all equal in their goodness. So clearly, when it says they're all equal in good, we're not referring to what happened to her in her life, but rather what we're referring to the way she lived life. And she lived life in her whole life, every second of her life, every moment of her life was good, which means every second of her life, every moment was utilized to its fullest extent in order to accomplish Avodas Hashem. Now, even this needs to be understood, because Sarah Yimeinu, like Avraham Avinu, didn't know Hashem, so to speak, from the moment she was born. There's different opinions in the Medrash whether Avraham Avinu recognized Hashem when he was 3 years old. The Rambam, in a big Arichus, says that Avraham Avinu, he goes with the Medrash, it says Avraham Avinu only really recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he was 40. And one would imagine that Sarah probably was on a similar, working together with him. They worked on this together. So that means she came to this recognition when she was 30. So if so, it would turn out that the first 40 or 30 years of their life, they hadn't yet reached the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, the Pasuk still says, Kulan Shavim L'Tayva, all the years of her life were equal in their goodness. That's a fascinating thing. Why would that be? Why would the Torah say that? Maybe the Torah should say, the last 70 years of her life were all equal in their goodness, or 80. Why is the Torah saying that all 127 years were equally as good? And what the Mefarshim say over here is that what this is coming to teach us is that in truth, there's no such thing as a mistake if you learn from it. There's no such thing as wasted time if it brings you to growth. Kulan Shavan Lataiva is the way Sarah lived her life, which is she used every waking moment that she had to grow and to come closer to Hashem. And given the situation that she was born into and the situation of the world around them, whether it took 3 years or whether it took 30 years or 40 years to recognize Hashem, that means it took 30 years of work to come to the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world. And every moment of those 30 years was fully justified in every ounce of energy and work that Sarah put into it in order to be able to come to that conclusion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules this world. The Medrash says that Avraham Avinu was worried, and he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what am I going to do with all those years that I was Eved Avodah Zarah? And Hashem told him, L'cha tal yaldusecha. To you, your childhood years are like tal, like dew. The same way tal, dew, is pireach, it floats, which means it evaporates. Af avinesecha parchem, likewise, all your averis, so to speak, will fly away. And then it says, Maha tal hazeh simen bracha la'olam. The same way tal, dew, is a simen bracha, represents bracha to the world. Af ata simen bracha la'olam, you as well are a simen bracha la'olam. And what this means is this tremendously important message, where we have so much in our lives where we look back and we say, well, you know, I could have done this differently and I could have done that differently, and you know, perhaps if I would know now what I know then, if I know then what I know now, how I would have done things so differently, and there was so much wasted time where I could have accomplished so much, but I hadn't reached that level yet. But the truth is that if all those years and all those times and all those mistakes all contributed to the greater us, the greater growth, and it allowed us to achieve the level that we are here today, then everything that is in our history is like tal. It's a simen bracha. It not only causes us to grow, it not only caused us to become elevated, but Avraham Avinu was a simen bracha for the whole world as well. He was there to show everybody the ability of a person to utilize every moment of his life in service of Hashem, even the years where he wasn't serving Hashem. And although all those years were there, Hashem counts all of them as if they were all equal, kulan shavan l'tayva, because they were all utilized in work, in growth, in the effort to try to realize the truth, in the effort to come to the level which Sari Imenu ultimately achieved. So Sari Imenu is given the utmost praise in the Hesped when Hashem says, Kulan Shavan L'Tayva, there wasn't a second of her life that went by in vain. Every moment was Shavan L'Tayva. Every second of her life was utilized to her to grow and become the perfect, the absolute, ultimate Sari Imenu that she lived her whole life to become. And that was the lesson that this very first pasuk in this parsha came to teach us. Have a good night and a good Shabbos.